Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the crazy shit to happen in running this week. This week's stories include FKT fails, the Coconino cowboy who won Transvolcania, and some world-class six-day results in Hungary. We begin this week with a craze sweeping the Ultra Nation. It's been trending for some time, but appears that van life is coming to a rolling boil heading into summer 2017. It seems couples and non-couples alike are seeking freedom in the form of something that was only for soccer moms and dads of the world just a short time ago. It used to be that runners threw a camper shell in a truck and called it good, with a solid piece of carpet and Therm-a-Rest mattress for added comfort. No longer. Now we see full wood-framed beds, custom cabinetry, solar panels, plush upholstery, plumbing, and custom-wrapped graphics adorning the side panels. Let's see how many of these sick creations we see at the top ultras this summer. Ready, set, go. We have an update on a couple of women's FKT attempts that went down within the past couple weeks. Not all attempts of these magnitude are successful, but it's still worth noting failure as well as success. We reported 2 weeks ago that Annie Weiss was taking on the 1200-mile Ice Age Trail in Wisconsin. Her goal was to finish in 19 days, breaking both the men's and women's FKT.
Annie Weiss plans to run all 1,200 miles of the trail, and she's hoping to finish in record time.
And that's honestly what has been keeping me going, is I wanting to finish and get to that endpoint.
She was on track for the first week, but started experiencing some unusual pains in her ankles. On day 10 of her run, she made it about a mile in before making the heartbreaking decision to end her attempt. The pain in her ankles told her that something was truly off, and she decided to stop before a permanent injury might take her out for good. It turns out she might have contracted swamp leg, a form of bacterial infection. Rest up, Annie. We know you'll give it another shot. Heading west, Sarah Kies attempted the ladies' FKT of the Zion Traverse. Sarah is road tripping across the country in lead up to running this summer's Western States 100. After a long day running 48 miles across Zion, she clicked her watch at 8 hours, 27 minutes, 36 seconds, and just 67 seconds shy of Joelle Vaught's record run. Ouch, but killer effort, Sarah. It appears Sarah may be going after another FKT early June in the Mount Whitney area, according to the tour schedule on her sarahruns.com website. We've got to make a quick rundown of some of the more interesting races from the weekend, as there were a ton around the globe. It's like it was Worldwide Ultra Weekend or something. Okay, so there was a six-day race in Hungary with some seriously awesome results. The EMU six-day takes place on a 1 kilometer course with a couple S-curves on one side and a straightaway on the other, with little bunkhouses for the runners to rest up. The straightaway is aptly named Joe Fiji's Avenue, which is pretty awesome if you ask us. So the results. Sweden took the win as Johan Steen clocked in a world-class 540 miles in his first ever six-day event. The next four runners also surpassed the 500-mile mark, and a total of 20 runners, including three women, went over 400. We've also got to shout out one of only two Americans in the race, Bill Hildebrand, who set a 70-74 world record in the 48 hour of 160.4 miles. Next, we head to the Canary Islands and the now-dubbed Aboriginal race, Transvolcania. The brutal point-to-point race across the volcanic island of La Palma was destroyed by Coconino Cowboy and Arizonan Tim Frericks. After his implosion at the February Black Canyon 100K, Tim knocked this one out of the park. He was 16 minutes ahead of last year's UTMB champ, Ludovic Pomeret. I guess those Grand Canyon training runs paid big dividends. Other Americans of note were Jason Schlarb, who placed ninth, and Hayden Hawks, who this time imploded and walked it in for a 9 hour plus finish. Ida Nilsson took the win for the Swedes for the second year in a row, but ironically also attended the same university as Frericks does at Northern Arizona, albeit a decade prior. Coconino cowgirl at heart? Nilsson is seemingly on top right now with her win at the TNF 50 last December and ran a new course record, this time at Transvolcania, besting Anna Frost's best time from 3 years back. USA ladies in the top 10 include Hilly Goat Allen in third, Cassie Scallon in eighth, and Christina Pattison, 10th. Another first this year was a single leg amputee finished the brutal course for the first time. Wando Lopez got it done on the tough and hot course. A quick note from Flagstaff that we have an unconfirmed Krar sighting. Brian Tinder snapped this photo of what we think is Rob microspiking his way across the top of Mount Eldon in search of free pizzicletta pizza. Ultrarunner and Pizialo Caleb Schiff is handing out free pizza passes to all who meet him atop Eldon each day of the Giro d'Italia. It is unconfirmed if Carr was involved in the rescue of a man purportedly searching for the free pizza amidst a snowstorm in the same time period. The Mako Show went on tour this weekend to the Beast Coast and the U-Rock race, where he scooped up $5,000 in prize money and also earning the crown of Ultra Champion of the Nation. Or World? Or the Beast Coast? Well, at least of the U-Rock. Amanda Basham had a tough day, according to her race report, but prevailed for the ladies with a comfortable win in the Virginia Mountains. She's apparently off to China next. I'm just putting this out there, but if anyone wants to send Jam Jam to China, he'd gladly take up the opportunity, especially if it's near the Himalayas. For more on the U-Rock, we now hear from our Beast Coast correspondent, Jizzle Whizzle.
Hey, Outhouse Nation, it's the Jizz reporting in from the Beast Coast. Don't have a lot of time today because we're still cleaning up here in the Jizz household from Mother's Day festivities last night, but I wanted to talk about some great highlights from out here on the Beast Coast this weekend. First, Jackie Merritt from Atlanta going out to the Midwest to win the 50K at Ice Age, win the overall. She chicked everybody. Number two, I was so happy to see this morning that the can, the aid station garbage can, is back on Twitter. Thank God, just in time for summer race season. And third, up at U-Rock, the great race here in Virginia, several Californians came out and the Mako Show invaded. Even brought his mom and his dad and a bunch of Pop-Tarts to try and appeal to Amelia Boone. She didn't show up, but he was fast enough to get the W over good friend Jorge Meravilla. Until next week, it's the Jizz.
Colorado's Quad Rock featured a stout women's field where the top three went under the ladies' course record. Pretty good for a six-year-old race. Marianne Hogan of Boulder, who is still relatively new to the ultra scene, won handily, beating out Casey Lichtai, Anime Flynn, and fourth place Claire Gallagher. Jim Rebenack, previous winner and multiple-time finisher, took the men's race. You wanted balanced coverage? We've got it. We welcome our newest women's correspondent this week, Wendy Kimmy, coming to us live from the North Face Endurance Challenge Bear Mountain in New York. To you.
Here with the 2016 Ultra Bromance of the Year Award nominees, Matt Powers and Paul Lee. How does it feel to not have won last year?
Well, Kim, I'm gonna let Paul take that.
You know, it was great. Like, we're very humble individuals, so all we did was make sure that other people got the recognition that they deserve, because we get most of it.
What are you gonna do this year to make sure you win this year?
We actually don't care that much about awards, so if we get nominated again, that's great, but we would prefer not to be.
Paul Leek once told me, if you're not first, you're last.
We're first in everyone's eyes, so who gives a sh-?
I would like to take that question and spin it.
Please. Do it.
How does it feel to be interviewing the 2016 nominees for Bromance Ultra Bromance of the Year?
I would say I'm pretty lucky. Look at these two.
Yeah, hold it up.
They got style, they got class, they got speed, they have personality. What more do you need?
All right, I say we wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up.
Kim, is this your first interview of all time?
First interview of all time.
Kim, I think you did an excellent job. Matt, what do you think?
Fantastic.
Wow. That's a great interview.
Great interview.
Signing off.
This is Wendy Kimmy.
Pal.
And Paul Leek.
Kimmy, thanks, but Bromance was all 2016. Let's get some of the Womance nominees next time around. Killer job, as those Pow and Paulique characters are a real pain in the ass. Yao Wang has her sights set on the men as she came within 6 minutes of Chris DiNucci at the Quicksilver 50K. Can't wait to see what happens at Western States in June. It appears sponsorless Carolyn Bowler will be skipping out on Comrades this year due to lack of travel funds. Sounds like the perfect scenario for a GoFundMe. Anyone? Alex Nichols, who was one of the Western States Golden Ticket winners at the Black Canyon 100K, has been sidelined by a foot injury much of the spring. It seems it might just be clearing up for him in time to binge train ahead of the big dance, now just 6 weeks away. In a new video promoted by Otra, not to be confused with Ultra, he appears to be showing off his new training program. Something about cats?
I kind of like sat down with my training log here.
Oh, that's cute.
Yep.
What cats teach us.
Yeah. You never know what they can teach you.
It's gonna teach be you to get ready for Western States in 6 weeks.
So this is the May featured cat in the grass. It's nice. Anyway, so.
Hoping this isn't a legit fashion trend hitting the trails anytime soon, but a family of croc-wearing runners made the news this week after the teen of the bunch blasted a 1:11 half marathon. Impressive, but doubtful the crocs made the real difference. The winners of the Ultra Running Mag race series have been announced. We already gave you the rundown of how this series works a few weeks back. I'm not willing to rehash, so go there or to their website for details. It was Claire Gallagher and Brian Rusecki who claimed first. This was the final way to run your way into Western States. Brian will be claiming his spot, but since Claire is already in the entry, rolls all the way down to Ashley Truin, who placed 8th overall, since all the rest of the women ahead of her are either already in or declined the spot. If you want to compete in next year's series, be sure to complete at least one race at each distance, from 50K, 50 mile, 100K, and 100 mile. We've all seen some tacky advertising tactics, but this one by the Vermont City Marathon is quite possibly the worst. In an email sent out over the weekend, they urge you to come run with them with the title/tagline, Comey might be out, but the Vermont City Marathon is in. Seriously? Let's check back in with our Northwest correspondent, Maya Ray Ray. It appears she might be on assignment this week, so I guess we'll check back in next week. Oh, is that LaCroix? I am pretty thirsty. Please excuse me. This week in Clean Sport, we have a positive test announcement from a competitor in the World Skyrunning Championship VK category. Frenchwoman Christelle Dewally is serving a 4-month ban for the substance heptaminol. Especially concerning details of this doping news is the odd length of the timeline. Let's break it down. She raced a VK July 22, 2016 in Spain and was tested in doping control on that day. The actual test wasn't analyzed until September 9, 2016 in Poland. The athlete and manager were informed 7 months later on April 25th, 2017. Finally, the International Skyrunning Federation was informed May 8th, 2017, when the ruling was finalized. She's now serving a 4-month ban from that May 8th date. Question we are wondering is why does it take so damn long for a test to be administered, results to be determined, and decisions to be made on anti-doping? Christmas in May? The USA World Trail and Ultra teams got some big boxes of goodies this week. Many members in the 50K and 24-hour world teams were showing off their new USA threads on social media. Looking good, guys and gals. Our question? Did they provide a proper length pair of shorts for Courtney DeWalter? And who, if anyone, will be sporting a crop top? We can't end this week's episode without mentioning this insane story coming out of New York. Some running clubs in the New York area are actually promoting and colluding on the abandoning of races, even going so far as to offering photoshopping and laser printing services to create fake bib numbers. Who are these jackasses? Check out the Bridge Runners and also the We Run Uptown crew, which is even sponsored by Nike. Let's just hope the NYC Roadrunners crack down on this crap. Keep an eye out for these teens to break onto the trail and ultra scene in the next few years. These six are heading to the World Mountain Running Championships in Italy. Jocelyn Blair of Eagle, Colorado, Mary Fox of Golden, Colorado, Soleil Gaylord of Telluride, Jameson Cartwright of Brighton, Colorado, Nathan Davis of Eubana, Maryland, and Tyler Scholl of Kremling, Colorado. This is the first time the USA will have a youth mountain running team. Our only beef? The boys' course is 5.3 kilometers with 340 meters of ascent, while the girls' course is just 3.85 kilometers with 250 meters of ascent. What's up, World Mountain Running Association International Youth Cup? Girls can't run as far and high as the boys? We call bull. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have any crazy stories to share, tweet us at Mountain Outpost. Have a week. Thanks to Andrew Gelling for supporting this show by purchasing those awesome Swedish flag sunglasses last week. Support this show yourself by purchasing this week's pair of slightly used USA flag signature sunglasses. Act fast, as this is the only pair we've got. As a bonus, we'll include a Mountain Outpost sticker pack and signed certificate of authenticity, whatever that means. Link below.